That's a treat. That's a good song. And it's a good reminder. If you would, take your Bible out and turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, as you're turning there, the children may be dismissed to children's church. And also, I forgot to mention earlier that our youth and youth director are gone on several of our youth and youth director are gone on a youth retreat. They've been gone since Friday night. They should be back this afternoon. But please be in prayer for them as they travel. And we trust that the Lord has been working there in that retreat and drawing them closer to Himself. And I sure appreciate the choir and Stanley this morning with the job that they did. If you would, take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and stand with me in honor of God's Word. We've been looking at the race of life after spending most of the summer looking at the heroes of faith and their encouragement to us to continue on running the race. The writer of Hebrews is now bringing his analogy of a race to a close, and we're going to be looking this morning in verse 12. He says, "Therefore, lift up your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone, and for holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. That no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears." Let's pray this morning. Father, we want to come before you once again. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it is always applicable. It always instructs us because it's living. It's your word to us. Lord, we don't want to gather here just to hear what I have to say. We want to hear what you have to say. So I pray that you would empower me to preach your word, your message this morning. I pray that you would quicken our hearts to hear. And may we grow closer to you. Lord, we are running a race, the race of life, and we want to finish well. We want to hear at the end, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So, Lord, we know that we can't do it without you, and I pray this morning that you would teach us, instruct us, and guide us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1992, the Summer Olympics were held in Barcelona. And as the Olympics always are, there were many people competing. We just got through with the Summer Olympics, and it's always interesting to hear the background stories of different people and how they came to be where they were at and what they were striving for. Well, there was a man in 1992, a young man in his early 20s who had been preparing for the Olympics. He was actually from the nation of Great Britain, and his name was Derek Redmond. He had been striving to win the 400-meter. That was his specialty, the 400-meter race. And during one of the semifinals, he was favored to actually medal in the finals. He was running in one of the semifinals, and he got down, he got prepared, he got ready to run, and the gun sounded. He took off on his 400-meter dash, one lap around the track. And about 150 meters into it, he said he heard a snap. He thought he'd been shot, and he reached back, and his hamstring had snapped. He heard a loud pop, and he felt this intense pain, and all he could do was crumple to the track. Quickly, the other racers passed him by. He had, at that point, been in the lead, it seemed like, and you know how those tracks go. He was in the middle, but he was in the lead, although there were others ahead of him. By the time they got around the curve, he would have been ahead. Well, he crumpled down there, and here he is on the floor, and quickly some of the people that are organizing the race, they came over to check on him, and they were going to help him off the track. About that time, he realized, I'm in the Olympics. This is my chance. And so he got up, and he didn't run, he hobbled. He began to hobble forward, and all the pain and the agony was all over his face. And the crowd was watching. They were no longer watching the other runners. They were watching this one runner at the end who is struggling and hobbling along. And they look, and out of the crowd, one solitary figure came. He came running out of the crowd to meet this runner. The security tried to stop him. They tried to keep him away, and he shook him off, and he said, no, that's my son. That's my son. And he runs to his son, and he puts his arm around his son, and he's saying, son, you've done well. You don't have to finish. And he says, no, I've got to finish. He said, all right, we're going to finish together. We're going to finish together. And the rest of the race, with his arm around his son, he helped his son around the track until he got to the end and crossed the finish line, and his son, in pain and agony, dissolved into tears, but he had finished his race. This morning, we're going to talk about finishing the race. Finishing the race of faith. Finishing the race of the Christian life and finishing well. And what do we need in order to finish? Well, that's what the writer of Hebrews is addressing. He's just got through saying that we are running a race. We have a great cloud of witnesses, those who've gone before and attest to the fact that God is faithful and he can be trusted. He's just got through saying we are to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher, the perfecter of our faith. We're to consider what he endured on our behalf upon the cross, saving us from our sin. And then we're to endure discipline, realizing that it's God's love for us, his training for us. Now he says, with that in mind, lift up your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees. This is verse 12. We are to strengthen the weak. How do we strengthen the weak? Well, the writer, we're going to spend a little bit of time going back and forth, so you need to keep your bookmark there in Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to jump over to Isaiah chapter 35. What the writer of Hebrews is doing is he's quoting an Old Testament passage, and if we go to this Old Testament passage, it will show us how we are to be strengthened in this race. Now, any of you here ever get tired? Yeah. Yeah. With four kids, Starla and I often say to one another, I'm just tired. I was telling her this earlier this week. Laura, I said, honey, I'm just tired. In fact, I was so tired, they were going to get ice cream. I said, y'all just go in and get ice cream. She said, are you sick? I said, no, I'm just tired. We had a fun time with the kids, but they have a lot of energy. I don't seem to have it the way I used to. Well, what do we do to strengthen those who are weak? In the race of life, there are going to be believers, there are going to be times in your life, there's going to be times in the life of somebody in this church, in this congregation, when they're going to feel tired of running the race. They're going to feel like their hands are dropping. You ever watch basketball? When I played basketball in high school, a long time ago, a lifetime ago, there was one sign that would tell us if the other team was getting tired before we were. And that was when there would be a foul and everybody would go to the foul line, whoever had their hands on their hips and kind of looking down like this, and or maybe their arms, or maybe they're down like this, you would know that they're getting tired, and if we keep pressing and pushing, we'll win. Well, sometimes in the race of life, you get tired, and your arms begin to drop, and you begin to say, this is tough. Well, what does the Scripture say? Look with me, Isaiah chapter 35. I hope you're there by now. The Scripture says, when we're tired, the way we need to be strengthened is first of all by catching a vision of God's glory. Isaiah 35, verse 1. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus, and it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. they shall see, catch this, the glory of the Lord and the majesty of our God. Now, let me tell you a little bit of background about what's going on here. The people that Isaiah is talking to are facing an army. There's an invasion in their land. The Assyrians are coming, and actually, in the next chapter, it talks about the messenger, Sennacherib, who had come, and he mocked God openly, and he said, is your God going to be able to save you from our army? We've conquered all these nations. You think your God, they had gods too. You think your God's going to be able to save you? And so the people were afraid, the people were scared, and the people were tired from being beaten down and told that nothing would work. And so in verse 3, he says, strengthen the hands, make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come. He will come and he will save you. What he's telling them is, first of all, you need to see the glory of God. You need to look up and get your eyes off of down here and the problem and the Assyrian army and the people that are saying that there's no hope for you, and you need to catch a vision of God and see his glory to renew your hope. You know, the problem in the Christian life that often comes when we begin to grow tired and weary is that we begin to lose hope. We begin to take our eyes off of the Lord and take our eyes off of his purposes and his plans. We begin to look at our struggles in this life, and we begin to lose hope in what God is ultimately doing. And so what we need is, we need to have our vision of who God is restored. We need to see his glory and his majesty. And so he says, look up. You're going to see the glory of God. Strengthen your hands. Be ready. Don't be afraid, because your God is going to come. You need your hope restored. The way that you get stronger in your Christian life when it gets hard is, you, first of all, you say, Lord, show me your glory. Give me a vision for what you want to do in my life in this situation, as hard as it is. And secondly, you need to remember that the Lord promises he will come. First of all, we know that the Lord is coming back, right? He promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He also said, I'm going to return. In the same manner the angel said when he was taken up, in the same way that he went up from you, he's going to come back. And he's going to set his foot upon the Mount of Olives. And every eye is going to see him, just like it was prophesied here. They're going to see, behold, you will see, and he will come and save you. You will see the glory of the Lord. When you're weak, you need to be strengthened by seeing God and by remembering his promise that he will come. Now, not only will Christ come one day to take us back to himself, that's our ultimate hope, that's our ultimate confidence. The hope in Scripture is never just a wishing sort of hope, a wishfulness that I hope it happens, but it's actually a confidence that God has said it and it's going to happen based on who he is and his promise. And so we look forward to the day when Jesus Christ will split the sky, and he's going to come back down, and he's going to execute vengeance on those who oppose him, but he's going to come back and rescue us. And we'll forever be with the Lord. When you're weary, remember Christ is coming. Christ is coming back. Look forward to that day. But also, you need to know that Christ will come and visit you in this situation. He will draw near to you. The Scripture says if you draw near to God, there's a promise. He will. It doesn't say he might. It says he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you, James says. Well, strengthen the weak. Be strengthened by the knowledge that God is glorious and he's going to come back in power, but he's also able to visit you in this moment right here. He's able to work in your life right now. Secondly, the writer of Hebrews says, don't only just strengthen the weak, don't only just to pick up your drooping hands and gain energy. That runner, Derek, he gained energy by taking his mind off of his pain and the circumstance at that immediate moment and looking forward to the end and saying, no, I want to at least finish this race. I want to get through it. And when he did that, he shook off those who were trying to really get him over to the sideline, and he said, no, I'm going forward. And that's what we need to do when we begin to feel like quitting. We need to look up and see the glory of God and say, Lord, help me to endure. Help me to go on and race to the finish. Now, Hebrews 12, verse 13, you don't have to turn back there. I'll read it to you. He says in verse 12, therefore, lift up your drooping hands, strengthen your weak knees, make straight paths for your feet, so that that which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. We need to strengthen the weak. We also need to straighten our path. Turn with me. What he's referencing here is Isaiah chapter 40. Turn with me over to Isaiah 40. I think the writer of Hebrews right now is just, he's been reading Isaiah and he's going through and all these things are coming at him like a flood and he's putting them down as encouragement. But you know what? What he's talking about here, straightening your path. One of the problems living in this world is we're bombarded by so many messages. You turn on the TV, you get advertisements all the time, right? You need this, you've got to have that. You need the next new model of Ford or Chevy or Dodge. There might be a few Dodge fans there, I don't know. Or Toyota, whatever it is, you've got to have the latest truck, right? You need this version. We've souped it up this way. Or if you're into technology, you've got to, well, you're outdated as soon as you buy it. They're always improving. There's something new. You've got to have it, right? Or if you listen long enough, if you watch the news, you begin to hear all the troubling things throughout not only the nation, but throughout the whole world. And pretty soon you say, where is there any hope? Where is there any hope? Everything seems to be going the wrong way. And you get discouraged. And maybe you go to work and you're troubled by your fellow employees or troubled by your employees that you are hiring, or maybe you're troubled by just the process of work. Customer's not happy. Somebody's complaining. How do you straighten your path and strengthen your knees on a daily basis? Well, with all these messages coming in, bombarding us constantly, it's always telling us, you need this to be happy. You need this to be satisfied. It's also telling us, it's trying to tell us who we are. There's also messages telling us who God is. In our world today doesn't, we live in a society that's increasingly saying there is no God. And the results of it are becoming more and more evident. And yet, when we live there, if we're not careful, our thinking can begin to be turned to the side one way or another. In some small manner, our path can begin to grow crooked. And so the scripture says we need to straighten our path. What it's talking about is how you think. How you think about who God is. You need your path, your mind needs to be clear. You need to understand who God is so that you can live how He wants you to live, right? Can I get an amen? Okay, there we go. You're still awake. Our world is constantly perverting who God is. It's turning it to the side. And God's word says, straighten your path so that you're not turned out of the way, so that you don't stumble over here and get off the path and miss out on what God has for you. So look with me in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40, the Lord has a comforting word for His people. He says, I want you to bring them comfort. They've just been through battle. They've just been through warfare. They're tired. They're weary. And He says, I want you to bring them comfort. Verse 3, He says, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up. Every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. What he's talking about is you need to see who God is and get straight in your thinking about who God is, first of all, so that you can understand how you're to live in this life. He's saying, make straight a path. Well, he's obviously referencing John the Baptist, the one who went before, the forerunner of Christ, who prepared the way. But notice what he says here. He says, every high place is going to be leveled off. Before a king would come to an area, if he'd not visited there for a long time, they would go and they'd prepare. They'd go and they would straighten the road. He's going to be carried in either on somebody's shoulders or on some animal and riding in a carriage of some sort. And so what they would do is they would make that road as straight and level as possible. Just recently, down on Newberry Road, they repaved it, didn't they? Does it feel a little bit smoother now for those of you who live on Newberry West? You know what it was like before. There was a dip. There were some parts where the pavement was no longer there. It seemed like it was turning to gravel. There were dips, there were rises, there were potholes, there were molehills, it seemed like. And it made the way rough. And so they came in and they smoothed it off, they leveled it off, and then they laid down that road to prepare it so you can drive upon it. That's what he's saying we need to have happen in our hearts and in our minds. We need God's word to straighten out where we're thinking differently about God. Now, I'm going to go through a few of these with you because that's what he talks about. He says, when you're weary, when you're weak, you need to get a new vision for who God is. And first of all, you need to have that vision straightened by your knowledge of God's might. Look with me. In verse 9, he says, get up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, what is he telling them to say? Behold! Behold your God! These people are tired, they're weary, they've been at war. And God has saved them out of this war, but now they're afraid. They hear rumors of a Babylonian army that's coming. And so they're distracted, they're discouraged, and God says, listen, here's what you need. You need to see me. You need to behold your God and see how great and how mighty he is. And that's what he says in verse 10. Behold, the Lord comes with might. His arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, his recompense before him. In other words, what he's saying is he is the ultimate ruler. He rules over all nations. He's in charge of everything. We're in an election season where there's a battle back and forth, right? Both sides are saying, if you don't elect this person, this is really negative campaign. I don't know if you've noticed that yet or not, but both sides, they're all kind of that way. But both sides are attacking. If you elect this my opponent, this is what's going to happen. America's going to go down, it's going to go to hell in a handbasket. It's going to be terrible. Well, then the other person is basically saying the same thing. And they're fighting back and forth. And I have my opinions on all that, but that's for another time. If we're not careful, we can get distracted in this fighting back and forth and take our eyes off of the one who's really in charge. We can miss out on the fact that God says, I'm going to rule. People may think they're in charge. He says, no, my arm is going to be in charge. I have my plan. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to fulfill it, and we can trust him no matter what. He's in charge. He rules with might, he says. His arm rules for him. We need to see the mighty power of God. Secondly, we need to see and know God's mercy. We need to see and know God's mercy. When the world cries out, where is your God? We need to know, first of all, that he's mighty and he still is on his throne and he's still in charge. When we begin to think, does God love us? You know, these people that Isaiah is writing to, they begin to question whether God even hears them anymore, whether he even loves them anymore. And so he says, listen, that's a crooked place in your mind. When you begin to question, Lord, why is everything going against me? That's some crookedness in your mind. You need to get it straight. Here's what God says to you. Does God love me? Does God care about me? Look with me in verse 11. He says, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. God is merciful. God is gracious. God is tender with us. There are times in this life when we say, it's hard, and does God even care? And what? Maybe we're going through the hardship of discipline and the training, and we're wondering, does he love us? And the word, the testimony of the word is that God loves us and he cares for us tenderly. He looks down. It's like when he sees a little lamb that's hobbled and that's struggling, he picks that little lamb up and he carries that lamb in his arms. He carries that lamb and sustains that lamb and cares for that lamb. He does not lose his sheep. Brother or sister in Christ, you are the Lord's sheep. He cares for you. And you may be in a time in your life when you say, does God even see me right now? His message to you is, he tenderly loves you. And if you will turn to him and cry out to him and trust him, he will, like a shepherd, pick you up and carry you forward, lovingly giving you the energy. In fact, carrying you on in the process, in the race of life. Well, another area that we need our mind straightened in is we need to see God's majesty, his greatness. In the next several verses, this people that are beginning to doubt whether whether God's going to come and save them, he begins to give them a picture. He says, listen, who has known the mind of the Lord? Who's instructed him? Nobody, right? He is all powerful and he has a perfect plan. He stretched out the heavens, the Bible says, with the span of his hand. It's almost like he flicked his fingers and he spread the heavens out. And Isaiah says in the next several verses that he gathers the waters of the earth together. 70% of the earth is covered by water. He gathers them together in the hollow, the smallest point in his palm. He gathers them together. There is nothing to him. In fact, he says all the nations of the earth, they're like dust upon scales. What that is a picture of is when a shopkeeper would set up and he would go to sell something and they would weigh out the how much the silver was, that they would use scales, and he had some bars here and then the person would put their money over here and they would see if they had equal out back in that day. And to make sure it was accurate, to make sure that there was no dispute over whether the scales were accurate, they would blow on the scales to just even get the little bit of dust off, so that they would say the dust is not even weighing one scale or another. They blow on it so it's completely clean. And the Bible says here that all the nations to God are like that little bit of dust on top of the scales. That's what they are, that they're just nothing. He's so great and powerful, so strong and mighty. We need to catch a vision for God. We tend to pull God down to our size, don't we? We tend to say, well, Lord, I don't know what you want to do here, but I think you could do this. And we give God suggestions. You ever done that? Lord, maybe you could do this. I've done that plenty of times. We forget how great he is. My suggestions are usually pretty small. I usually try to give God something, you know, he can achieve. And really what I'm doing is I'm pulling God down to my size as something I think I can achieve. And God says, don't you know how big I am? The whole world is but dust to me. I could do anything. And I will do my will. I'll accomplish my purpose. We need to see how big God is when we get discouraged. And know that He's going to fulfill His plan. Well, finally, you might say, well, if God's so big, how can He take thought of me? If all the nations are but dust, how can He take thought of me? Just a little speck of a speck of dust. Well, look with me in the closing of Isaiah 40. That's what the question was that the people said. Verse 27, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my God is disregarded. My right is disregarded by my God. What they were saying is God's forgotten about us. We're so small. Our nation's so small. All the other nations are so great. He's forgotten completely about Israel. And yeah, He did great wonders back in the old days, but we're not sure He can do it now. Or we're not sure He will do it now. And God says, have you not known? Haven't you heard that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, He does not faint? We faint, we get tired, but God doesn't faint. He doesn't grow tired. He doesn't grow weary. He's always going to accomplish what He sets out to do. And what He's saying is if you wonder, does God take notice of my little situation over here? He's so great. Does He even think about me? God says... You might say, maybe God's gotten tired of hearing from me. And He says, no, I don't grow tired. I don't grow weary. I see you where you're at. I hear you. And listen, the youths may grow weary and faint. Young men shall fall exhausted. But here's the promise. Those who wait upon the Lord, what? They'll renew their strength. You know how they'll renew their strength? They'll mount up as wings as eagles. They'll run, not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. They'll renew their strength because they've caught a vision of who God is. They see His greatness and they realize He loves me and He wants to work in my life. And He wants me to draw near to Him so that He can teach me more about who He is. They begin to see that they get their mind straight about who God is. And they gather strength from it. I don't know where you're at this morning. Turn back with me over to Hebrews chapter 12. I don't know where you're at. Maybe you're tired and discouraged. That happens in the Christian life. But the writer of Hebrews points back to Isaiah and he says, listen, strengthen your hands, make straight your paths. And the way you do that, the way you strengthen your hands and make straight your paths is you catch a vision for the glory, the majesty, the splendor, the greatness of God. You catch a vision for His mercy. You look back to the cross and you say, when Satan comes and says he doesn't care about you, you look and you point to the cross and you say, oh, yes, He does. Oh, yes, He does. He cared so much for me. He went and He died for me. He gave His own lifeblood for me. My God cares for me. When the deceiver comes and says, maybe God's forgotten about you, you say, oh no, He never forgets. He never grows tired or weary. But those who wait upon Him, who seek Him, who put their focus upon Him, who look unto Him, will gather strength. They'll renew their strength to run. And then they'll have the strength to strive for peace with all men and holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. We're not going to go into that this morning. We'll save that for another time. But where are you at this morning? Are you tired? Are you weary? The challenge is look to the Lord. Look to the Lord and say, Lord, show me. your glory. Show me again how great your majesty is, how great your power is, how great your strength is, how you work all things according to your own will, and even in the troubling times that we live in, I can trust you. Are you saying, has God forgotten about me this morning? Look back to the cross. Look back to the cross and say, no. He went to the cross with you upon his mind. He died for you. And realize that he, like a shepherd, will gather you and carry you on. Look to Christ if you're weary. Would you stand with me this morning? Maybe you're here this morning, you say, I'd like to be strengthened. I've been through it. I'd like to be strengthened, but I don't know this shepherd you're talking about. I'd like to be carried along, but I don't know the great shepherd. I don't know this God who is majestic. This morning is for you. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, came down from earth, set foot, walked, new weariness, new tiredness, new hunger, new thirst, experienced the loss of loved ones, wept, experienced the joys of life, and then he went to the cross. Why? So that you might be redeemed.